You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. Amanda, I know we have an amazing guest today, someone that you know very well. So I am going to hand the microphone over to you to make the special introduction.
Yes. Thank you, Neil. So I am very excited. Soon as we agreed to do a podcast, this was the first person that came to mind that I was so curious to want to interview and know her story. And I was fortunate enough to meet Katia Bossi, who is the CMO of Lamborghini, through a wonderful, another wonderful woman in Los Angeles, who is a professor at UCLA and had worked with Katia, and was fortunate enough to meet her there. So I wanted to welcome you, but also to let you sort of give your introduction of a little, tell us a little bit in it. I know it would be very hard to do in a short period of time, but like a little snapshot of your career journey, because obviously the CMO of Lamborghini speaks for itself, but I'm assuming you didn't start there.
No, I didn't start there. Hi, everyone. No, I started with a completely different idea in my mind, because I studied political science and law, and I wanted to become a judge because I wanted to take care of minors. So I did it. But because in Italy, you cannot choose your path, you know, even when you are a judge, I decided to start another path. And here I am, you know, with the marketing experience in my career, started in Swatch in the early 90s.
Oh, wow. And you've worked for like now three of like the biggest car, like fast life, fast car brands, from I think Ferrari, Aston Martin to Lamborghini. Did you ever think you'd get into sports car? Like what propelled you to go into that? Because they're not just like a sexy brands, but they're like luxury brands and they're global and they're like the most iconic brands in the world.
When I started in Ferrari, I really didn't think about that. That was a very good project because Montezemolo at the time called me to set up the entire licensing business from scratch, and also the retail business. And I love the project. And this is what is really driving me every time that I decided to take a job is the project. And by chance, those projects were being offered to me by automotive companies, in a perfect time of my life. And I decided to take them all.
So Katia, I want to take a step back from judge to marketing. There were a lot of paths that you could choose. Why marketing?
Because I've been hired by the Swatch Group at that time. I was studying. And I wanted also, you know, not to be too much a weight to my parents. And I wanted to contribute to my studies. Therefore, I've been out there. And I learned that was something that I really loved to do. But at the same time, I also loved, my parallel career. So I keep on studying. So I took, the first degree in political science, and then the second in law. And then I keep on studying, to become a judge. And I love the idea to have a kind of two lives in parallel. Because, of course, working at that time for Swatch Group was an amazing experience. You know, the moment where Swatch was really a kind of idol, an icon. But at the same time, you know, I wanted to be my foot on the ground and I wanted to help people. So that's why, you know, the two souls. And I kept those two souls for a long time.
Very interesting.
It's so interesting to me too. Like, you came from time probably before like social media was a huge part of marketing, and seeing sort of like the revolution. How has that changed your job and changed how you strategize with your company, especially being a luxury brand where you have to be really careful about, you know, the message that you take on to your audience, and then to all the what sometimes the bigger audience is the aspirational audience.
Of course, yes. Let's say that I learned a lot about social media and social media platforms when I joined in 2009 the National Basketball Association, because I remember that at the time I was living in Milan, and in Italy social media were just like some, you know, used for fun, you know, nothing to do with what they are right now. While at the NBA, I found immediately a completely different vision. You know, while we were thinking about what is Facebook, they were setting up NBA entertainment, so selling packages on social media to companies. So it's been a kind of immersive learning moment into that reality, and I learned so much there. And I believe that the NBA, even if it's not a luxury property, let's put it in this way, they have a luxurious audience because, you know, all the people following the players and the players themselves that really increase their presence on social media quite quickly helped me to understand, you know, the dynamics, how to teach, you know, people to embrace social media, even in the luxury business, because for probably a lot of time, the luxury business didn't consider social media a medium to be used for their communication. But I thought from the very beginning that that was a missed opportunity. So I started talking about what the pillars of the company were, what the company wanted to communicate, and what, you know, the soul of Lamborghini in particular was through social media. And this paid back because now we have almost 28 million followers on Instagram and collectively 45 million on all the platforms. And here we can meet both the brand lovers, what we call brand lovers, so all the aspirationals, but also our customers, because we have a very young customer base and we are trying to keep up with them and talk their language.
Yeah, you've been at the forefront. You're but like... forefront of innovation from, like, I feel like you see in the future and do a lot of things that are like first mover, just was following some of like your career history. There's three big things I feel like that you've done at Lamborghini, when your time at Lamborghini, that were kind of like firsts, I think, in that, especially in that space. And one was launching an SUV in the sports car world. And, you know, another one, it was a, you know, the brand partnership, we were influencer, what do you want to call it, like a co-branded partnership with Supreme, and then scouting this global organization of female, empowering female leaders and using the brand to do that. I mean, I don't know where you want to start, but those are like three major things, and talk about influence in so many different directions. Like, what was your drive and how were you able, because people dream about doing things like that, but then talking about them and doing them are two different things. So I think for people listening to this, they're like, that's amazing. But how do you go about starting to like make change like that?
I believe that it's important to start from what you want to achieve in terms of brand. You know, the coolness of the brand goes through different steps. And especially in these days, to be cool means that you have to be defined cool by others. So, you know, it's not something that you can define yourself. Launching Gurus has been the first step to embrace a larger audience, first of all. So we are still the one with a super luxury SUV, but without compromising and diluting the brand, meaning that this is not an SUV that has nothing to do with the DNA of the company. It's a super sports car with the shape of an SUV. This is something that it's very important to understand, because the performance of Gurus is exactly the same that you can find on the Huracan. But at the same time, it's what I call a generous Lamborghini, because you can share the experience with your family, with your friends, with your kids. You can drive easily the car in the cities, but at the same time, you can enjoy, you know, driving on a circuit because the performance is there. But this is also helped us to open the doors to a female finally audience, because I believe that, you know, Lamborghini might be intimidating as a car, but if you drive Urus, you can certainly move to a super sports car quite easily, because it's exactly the same driving experience. So this is the most important thing, in my opinion. And you know, the reason why I also founded the FAB, the Female Advisory Board, because I believe that more women, you know, that have their own wealth, have the opportunity really to decide where they want to invest their money. You know, they invest in super sports car, as well in watches or paintings or real estate. And also I was asking to myself, why not in super sports car? But at the same time, it was also important to meet those women. You are lucky as one of them, and let them know what Lamborghini stands for today, because this is the other aspect that it's very much important. So to communicate that Lamborghini is not just a company making wonderful cars for rich people, but it's a company with a soul and with a very high level of responsibility. And therefore, you know, you have to be a kind of educational element of the other's life. And this is coming back to the, you know, how to be an influencer. So we believe that Lamborghini could be considered as an influencer. So being an influencer means that you have a responsibility towards others. And creating corporations at the level of Supreme, and now, you know, a newborn that is the cooperation with Yohji Yamamoto that we are going to unveil in Tokyo next week. So he designed both one of our cars, you know, with the livery that it's really amazing, and then a capsule collection, is also a way to communicate where we want to go, because we have 8,000 people that are our lucky customers every year, but we also have a number of aspirational targets that would love to get in touch with us through different ways. And Supreme is very much aligned with us, and also Yohji Yamamoto, because it's contemporary, is gender fluid, because as Lamborghini, the other thing that we introduce is that we speak on gender. So we are not talking to a man or a woman. We talk to a kind of personality that feels comfortable in a car like ours.
That's fantastic. Yes, well,
I will be in Tokyo next week, Katya. So I look forward to hearing more about that when I'm there.
Really? No, well, we can definitely invite you, because it's a great opportunity, because we are also unveiling our lounge. Is one of the reasons why we asked Yamamoto, you know, to be there and be part of this celebration. Because again, going into the direction of the age of you, we believe that our customers, on top of the dealerships, need a place where, you know, they can feel at home. A kind of piece of Sant'Agata Bolognese, where Lamborghini has been founded, where I am today, that could be brought, you know, in New York, where we have the permanent lounge, in Tokyo, and in some other lounges that we have all over the world.
That's great. I will be quarantined in a hotel room for 2 weeks, so I will be there in spirit. But I know, Amanda, I know you wanted to ask something. I just want to ask something very quickly, just from another angle. I think, Katya, everything you talk about and your career, you know, the amazing, not just achievements, but the thoughts, the deep, you know, things that you you've put into place, and I consider it, and I'm sure many others listening, to be very, very innovative. I'm just, you know, curious, where do you find inspiration for these innovative ideas that you have and that you've put into place wherever you've worked?
I look everywhere but the automotive, if I have to be honest with you. Mm. So the automotive business, it's a very traditional business. It's a very traditional segment. And therefore, what I look is... you know, what the mega trends are, to be able to intercept, you know, the opportunities that I can translate into innovative ideas. So we, for example, recently launched, I want to define a campaign, but it's a way to celebrate the Italian heritage and the country during the pandemic, because, of course, we are not able to travel. So I asked 21 artists, photographers, to make an interpretation of our of our country, you know, in the different regions, but in a completely new way. So they are not car photographers, but they are war photographers. Mm. They are fashion photographers, photographers from National Geographic, from, you know, different fields with their own interpretation of the beauty of the country and the beauty of our Lamborghini. And this came from, of course, ideas that we captured in other fields. Mm. But also I have to say that I'm very lucky because I have a very young and fresh team, and they come up with really innovative thoughts every now and then. So, I mean, we just need to choose.
Excellent.
Oh, that's so cool. One of the things that I love that you brought up for the first time I think I saw you speak was that the idea that Lamborghini as a brand is an influencer. And I think that's something that's so misunderstood and overlooked in this term of influencer marketing. And we, you know, the public tends to equate influencer marketing with like social media advertising or people that have followings. But I love that it's, you know, it can be Google is an influencer, Lamborghini is an organization, the World Health Organization. Who has the power over an audience, and that you recognize that and have been able to collaborate and use it in so many ways beyond just, you know, selling really beautiful cars across. And there's a word there that comes out very strongly as I started to learn more about the Lamborghini brand, and that's family. It kind of caught me by surprise the first couple times when it was you, or I think your CEO, and that's, you know, welcome to the family, or it's part of the, and they really do, you really breed this culture, and it's something that cannot be mandated, I feel like, and it cannot be taught, but it's something that I feel like so many brands miss the mark on. It takes building this foundation, and it's why every campaign that you do, or the fact that you launch a social media channel, it lands higher because it's got this foundation of how do you recommend to the brands out there? Because so many, especially like, you know, middle startup brands and middle level brands, they want that kind of growth. They dream of being a big leader like that, but they get caught up in the fact that they're like, well, we don't have that much time to build this foundation. Like this idea that there's not enough time to just like cultivate these relationships because that takes time and money. Would you argue that the opposite is true? That it actually is, it's a better investment to invest in the long-term relationships without a big ask in the beginning?
100%, Amanda. I have an example for that. So even during the pandemic, we never stop, at least through our Unica app. So it is the app just dedicated to our customers, to be in touch with them, also through the dealers that, of course, were, you know, the first face for them. And we recently registered the best last 3 months of our history. So even during these difficult times, people really felt, you know, that the Lamborghini was there. Even we, in a way, invaded their privacy, asking, do you want us to come at your home? We take your car, we clean your car because I want you to feel safe. So we were not selling anything, you know, we were coming to be helpful. And they really embraced this because, you know, it's not easy to give your car to a third person for him or her to clean it and give it to you back. But that's what they really enjoyed. And the first thing that they did when they had the opportunity was to go to the dealer and start again a kind of street relationship with them, saying, we really appreciate what you've done for us. So we are here because we want to see if there's a, you know, a car that it suits me, my next desire of adventure. So I cannot travel, but I want an Urus because I can bring my family with me and I can go, you know, to make a nice tour with the people that I love. So this is something that I believe it's a kind of proof that if you give with love, really and seriously, and humanity, you have a lot back from people. I mean, companies, again, are made by people. So it's important to establish a relationship that is genuine, transparent, and you can become part of their lives. So that's what we want to do. But also with the brand lovers, you know, we wanted to start the pandemic with the campaign, I Stay at Home, Stay Parked. So, you know, we run, you know, the 7 weeks that were really, you know, something that we always remember here in Italy, featuring the cars parking in our customers' garage. And they contributed, they sent us pictures. And it was incredible, you know, the reaction that I had. You know, they asked also, can we do more? You know, because we want to contribute. It's been wonderful, I have to say.
And it's funny because everything that you're saying, and like this, and I've experienced, you know, with your brand, which is so exciting to me to see a brand do that. And it's very hard to explain the intangibles, the benefits of all of those things, because they're not hard quantifiable metrics, right? And so I think that's sometimes half the battle in marketing is that when they see short term, they're like, well, how do we justify the spend? How do we, what's the return on that? And a lot of what you're saying is the amount of times that me or somebody else has mentioned a certain brand or referred somebody or recommended, how do you capture that kind of love and loyalty in marketing? How do you reconcile that idea between, you know, well, we need to measure what was the return on investment on this?
You know, Amanda, that it takes time for this kind of thing. So it, marketing in particular is something that you cannot measure, you know, the day after. It's a kind of path that has to combine all the different elements. So the communication, cooperation with other brands, you know, and you have to put a lot of seeds, you know, to let people understand who you really are. So, and it takes time. But at the end, as I said, I measured that because during a period where most of the companies really struggled, we have been able to make an incredible 3 months, and we are projecting incredible results for 2020, despite everything happened. So I believe that, you know, what we have built in the last few years now is coming to fruition. So now we can see now the results, and you can really measure that because of the numbers that we are developing, both, you know, from the follower standpoint, from the customer standpoint, from the quality of engagement that we have, and of course, from the number of cars sold.
You're building a house, not putting up a tent long-term, yeah. I guess. The building infrastructure.
Yeah, Katya, I want to be cognizant of your time. I just have one last question. I love your talking about, when it comes down to it, it's the relationships, right? You talk about the relationships with your customers. And I have a feeling, because this is a podcast about influence, when you're working with influence, you mentioned working with those photographers that weren't directly related to the auto industry or working with Yamamoto-san in Tokyo. It sounds like that same approach to relationships and collaboration is at the forefront of that strategy of working with influencers, which is very refreshing. I think a lot of people picture, you know, a luxurious sports car company as being sort of not so much into those relationships, right? Maybe just sort of out there, and we cannot approach them. They're just this entity that is untouchable. And you very much made Lamborghini very touchable. I'm just curious if you could provide us your advice or your approach with how you've worked with influencers over the last few years, those collaborations, and what has driven you to develop those relationships?
So let's say that in general, we don't work with influencers because we believe that the car is an ambassador itself.
Okay.
So influencers mean to us people that could cooperate with us without being celebrities or without being necessarily people that are suggesting the Lamborghini is the car you have to drive. You know, we love the idea of those artists because they have nothing to do with the automotive business. And what they wanted is just to express their art through photography. And that's why they are genuine. So you know that this has nothing to do, you know, with Lamborghini itself. Is an interpretation of a piece of art, because I believe, truly believe, that our cars are a piece of art. And of course, the beauty of our country. So I believe also that because we are lucky enough to have a lot of spontaneous influencers, you know, people who are buying our cars, celebrities, artists, athletes, they post, you know, their joy of driving a Lamborghini because they really feel that it's part of their lives. And we never reposted, you know, we leave them the freedom to say and to do whatever they think it's appropriate about the Lamborghini world. So for us, the influence, all of us are mainly influencer of the brand when we talk about, you know, the essence of Lamborghini. And the essence of Lamborghini is we have an incredible ambassador that is the car, but it's also a company with a soul.
Excellent. I'm sure so many companies listening are would strive to do what you have been able to do.
We could listen to you all day talking.
Yeah.
just try to unpack your brain on all of this all day. I have one last question that's a fun question that I'm just so curious to know about myself. And that would be what probably like, not saying like your mom or your dad or somebody, but who do you think is the most influential person in your career? And that could have been somebody that even was not supportive and that drove you further, or like, who would you name as that person?
I'm going to name someone and you are going to find it very bizarre, because for me, Marie Curie has always been an inspiration. So since I was a child, I started reading, her life, about her life, what she achieved, the intensity of her work, how she really fought to be what she has been awarded with two Nobel Prizes, incredible. So every time that I was in difficulty or I was like, I'm not going to do it because it's too hard for me, I was thinking about her. You know, who put a lot of efforts at the level that she died for what she thought was good for humanity. And this is something that has been always an inspiration to me. Because being a woman at those times where women were not even considered human beings, I think was an incredible achievement. And again, every time I was like down, I was thinking about her. And then I completely, you know, turned my mood because I thought, okay, you know, I mean, I cannot be less than her now that is 2000, of course, now 2020 or so, while 200 years ago, she was amazing.
That is a very cool answer. And not surprised that it was not conventional. Not conventional answer. That's why I have what I really wanted to know. Thank you so much. There's one question that Neil always asks, and that is, you know, where can people find you? So I think everybody knows where they can find Lamborghini, but where can people find you?
But people can send me an email because I answer to everyone. I really love to be in contact with people and learn from others. So I'm happy to receive emails. So if you want to send me your thoughts via katia.bassi@lamborghini.com. I'm more than pleased to answer.
That's very gracious of you. We'll put that in the show notes. Katia, just, you know, any last words of advice for all the CMOs and aspiring CMOs that are listening in right now?
Yeah, you have to follow your inspiration, because sometimes good ideas don't come from the exact study of the market, but mainly for what you believe your brand deserves and your brand stands for. And even if it's not conventional and even if it's not expected, you know, ask to yourself if you believe is the right thing to do and go for it.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Amanda. Grazie.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.